Lecture topic, Sublime Conduct.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Most respected students of deen, brothers and sisters, the Quran Sharif has highlighted the fact and the reality that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the highest level of akhlaq. The Quran Sharif is endorsing it, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that you have the highest level of good character. And the manner in which it is being expressed is ala. Now what to understand of the word ala? Like a person, for example, he is riding a horse. So now he's firmly seated on it, meaning it is totally under his control. He has full, complete control over that animal. That is the kind of expression that is being used here. That's a kind of figurative expression, that you are so firmly mounted on good akhlaq that you are, so to say, entirely good akhlaq. Now, what is the good akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Anything and everything that a person could think about in terms of good character, good akhlaq, beautiful way of doing things, everything was in his Mubarak life. Now the question that we have to keep asking ourselves every time that we discuss something about the Mubarak Sirat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about his Mubarak life, that what have we taken from it? Certain things are not in anybody's control. Certain things are not in a choice of a person. For example, the physical features of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is not in anybody's choice that they should also be able to have exactly the same strength and features, etc. But the actions that he did, the legacy that he left behind, was in his lifestyle, in his actions, how he conducted himself, how he dealt with people around, that akhlaq and the manner in which he did things, his ibadat, his muamalat, his dealings, his muasharat, the social life, his akhlaq. This is what we have to try and emulate, copy, bring into our lives. Now what we have we learned so far, and how much have we brought into our life? That is the question. Now for example, if you want to look at one aspect, the tolerance, the hilm, and the tolerance of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now one hadith sharif states about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that man taqama li nafsihi abada. He never ever took revenge for his personal self. Never. Never ever was a vengeous person keeping any dirt in the heart for anybody, despite the fact that people hurt him so much. They were his arch enemies. They caused so much of taklif, they caused so much of harm, but he never ever took any revenge for his personal self. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquered Khaybar, so Khaybar was occupied by the Jews. This place was conquered. So one Jewish woman, she sent some food for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now obviously the Ahl-e Kitab at that time used to follow exactly what the requirements were for a Muslim. What the requirements are for a Muslim to undertake in order to, for the food to be halal, that was exactly the requirements for the Ahl-e Kitab, and they used to fulfill it accordingly. So in any case, the point that we want to discuss is, so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifted one morsel, the Sahaba, many Sahaba were also seated with him, so he gave the indication that they should all eat, and he lifted one morsel and brought it to his Mubarak mouth. He barely touched his mouth with it, and then he quickly kept it down. And he said, this morsel has informed me, obviously by the will of Allah Ta'ala, the permission of Allah Ta'ala, the morsel informed that there is poison filled in it. And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam also came and informed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that this food has been poisoned. So now it was very, very strong poison. And the effect of that poison was that the pain of that continued. Now, whereas he didn't consume it, it had only been brought to his Mubarak mouth, touched basically maybe, but the poison was so strong and so severe that it already had some effect. And the effect was that for the rest of his Mubarak life, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that I kept on feeling the pain within myself of that poison, the effect of it. And the last moments of life on this earth, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then expressed this also, that I now felt this poison actually cutting the main vein. And I think this is now the end, because this main vein, I can feel it getting cut as a result of this poison. It's affecting the main vein now. So this was a shahadat as well. But the point is that this was so severe, and there was so much of pain from it. There was so much of taklif as a result of it. But yet, when this poison, now when he got this information from Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and that very morsel gave him the information, so he was also informed who did it. So he called for that lady. It was the wife of one of the leaders of the Jews, Salam bin Mishkam, his wife. So he called for her and asked her, did you poison this food? So she acknowledged, she admitted. She said, yes, I poisoned it. Why did you poison it? So she gave one very, very strange story and made one kind of excuse, so to say. She said, well, I felt that if you are a genuine Rasul and a Nabi, then it won't harm you. And if you are not a genuine Nabi and Rasul and a genuine messenger of Allah Ta'ala, na'uzu billah, then this will get rid of you, it will be good. Na'uzu billah, thumma na'uzu billah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard this, her own admission. She's acknowledging it, she's admitting it. But his way was to forgive and overlook. So he just dismissed it and forgave her for his personal self and let her go. Did not take any retribution, any revenge, any action was not taken against her. She was just let off. What a thing she did. She poisoned the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And the effect of the poison went in. But later on, one Sahabi who also was seated there, maybe some 1-2 days later, he had already taken a bite of one morsel and which he sort of swallowed. So the poison had a terrible effect on him and he passed away. When he passed away, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as per the law of Allah Ta'ala, that the family and the guardians of the Sahabi who passed away, it was their right now to take revenge from this woman and take her life in lieu of his life, because she killed him with that poison. So any case they then took, which was the haq that Sharia gave them, so they exercised that haq and that right, and this lady was killed as a result of taking the life of the Sahabi. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself didn't say anything further, didn't punish her, he forgave her, he dismissed it. Now this was his manner, his way, for something so major and so severe. So on the one side, the law of deen had to be displayed also, that look, somebody has the right, they has the right. Because this is their haq now. So they were given the right and they took it. But for his personal self, he displayed what is the higher level. He forgave, overlooked. Now this is akhlaq. An akhlaq of a very high level. Now one is where there was life endangered. Now let us look at our own situation. Day-to-day things in our homes, with our friends, with our siblings, with the people around us, with outsiders, maybe something sometimes happen. But sometimes over small things. So often it's over trivial things. And what is our reaction? How many times have we tried to practice on this beautiful example of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That let it be. Forgive it. Overlook it. Try to do that which will bring some peace. Overlook it. Forgive it. How often we practice on this? And this is often just looked at, well, if you do it now, so not going to be anything much. We'll do it. Okay, we'll get some sawab. No, not some sawab. It's a very great action. And Allah Ta'ala loves this dearly. And Allah Ta'ala forgives people on these kind of actions. That where they wanted to forgive, they were ready to forgive, they forgave. Inshallah, they can hope for Allah's forgiveness also. So now this is the lesson in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we say, have a heart. Subhanallah, what a heart he had. Now the question for ourselves, what a heart we have, what kind of heart we have? Do we have a heart that is ready to overlook, forgive? What kind of heart we have? So very often, over small things, trivial things, it becomes a big problem. It gets out of hand. It becomes a major issue. One thing then leads to another. It becomes like a kind of things like the times of Jahiliyyat. In the times of Jahiliyyat, before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, there were some wars that took place among the Arabs. One particular war carried on for 120 years. 120 years. In other words, as people now were warring, fighting, and then somebody is dying because now their life, now they're old or whatever happened, now they can see now that life is going. They're not going to survive long. So they will make a wasiyat. They will make a wasiyat, they will emphasize upon their family members, upon their sons or grandsons or whoever. You don't ever stop fighting with these people. You must carry on with my mission of fighting them. So that war will carry on and war will carry on. And it was about 120 years it carried on until Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought Islam to them. Now the thing is, what this war started off over? What such a long war? 120 years. Now, how many people must have got killed in that time? Over 100. This tribe is killing people from that tribe. Then they're taking revenge and killing people on this tribe. And it's going on year in, year out. They're getting a chance, they're looting them. They're getting the chance, they're killing them. And the other party is doing the same. So how many people's lives were lost over that 120 years? Hundreds, maybe thousands of people, Allah knows. How much of suffering, how much of difficulty must have happened to so many people around? Because now one person got killed, now his family is suffering, his children are suffering. One person got hurt in some way, so many people are suffering. What it started off over? Why were they fighting? So now this particular 120 year long war is known as Harbul Basus. One particular war is known as Harbul Basus. Basus means a chicken. Small little chicken. Oh, what a name to give a war. Harbul Basus, the war of chicken. Somebody will say that maybe some people chickened out or something. No, what happened was, now there were two people living next door to each other. So one person had some chicken. So chicken, they run around the yard, whatever, to start finding there. They're pecking something here, pecking something there. Now, how much can a chicken peck? Any case, this one person now, his chicken, it crossed the line of his yard, his land, and went away into the neighbor's land. And started pecking some things there. Now, really, how much is a chicken going to peck? So it must have bitten off some flowers or some plants or whatever, some crops that might have been growing there. So now the neighbor noticed this and he came out and he started fighting over this with his neighbor that your chicken came into my land and they started eating something from my land. So he got very upset. He must have said something, that person must have said something in return. Then he must have replied in a more severe way. That person must have replied and said something else. In that interim, somebody, whoever of the two, he got upset and he either took his sword out or he took his spear out or whatever and he killed the other person. Now this was the start of the war. Now when he killed, whoever killed who, now the family of the person got killed, they hunted down the killer and they killed him. So the neighbor, they somehow cornered him somewhere and they killed him. Now when he got killed, his family people now waited for a while and then they took revenge. And they killed some of the people from this family. But that was the start. And that carried on for 120 years over what? One chicken. One chicken went and pecked something. Now how trivial. How trivial this was. Okay, at the most now, don't let your chicken come on the side. Make sure you keep them in your yard. Or put some small little fence there or whatever. Done. No, no. It became a war. And that war carried on for 120 years. Now this, unfortunately, the jahiliyat of this time, that we rather be fighting with somebody, lose our own peace in the process, lose our own sleep, lose our own money, but we will not forgive. We will not forget. We won't do what will now resolve the matter in a nice way. And let's move on. We are all in the same class. We are in the same madrasa. Or we are neighbors. Or we are cousins or whatever. No, no. We must fight. We must carry on. We must war with each other. So this is the new jahiliyat. Now why people think in this way? It can either be day or it can be night. If it's night, it's not day. If it's night now, you're going to be in darkness. Because it's not day. The sun is not out. So now people are in the darkness of this jahiliyat. They haven't learned about the Mubarak Seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or if they learned, their hearts are dead. So they don't have the drive to practice on it, to see the beauty in it, and to practice on it. And therefore, even if that Seerah is being studied in madrasa, wherever somebody is reading, but it's just like another history book for the sake of information, for the sake of some knowledge. But making our lives get molded in that mold, that we're not prepared to do. We'll write the exams and we'll score good marks, but that means I passed. But how much of akhlaq is in my life, that don't worry about. I'll do what I want to do. But this is a very dangerous thing. Now this lesson about the beautiful akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is something for us to reflect on. We just took one example about his tolerance. He forgave that woman who poisoned the food and didn't take any revenge. This is one of many, many, many examples. The books of hadith are filled with examples. Let us just imagine the scene. Imagine ourselves in a similar scene. And now, for example, you are traveling, somebody is traveling somewhere, or is walking somewhere, wherever, walking. And now somebody comes and tells you, please, I want something, give me some. Whoever want. And then the person grabs you by your clothing and yanks that clothing hard and it's going to leave some scar. How will we react? Somebody is talking to us in a very abrupt way and then physically also causing pain and hurt and then demanding something to be given. How will we react? If somebody just pesters us at the robot or somewhere, we get upset. You're not obligated to give the person something. You can give, you give. If you cannot, you're not obligated. And if you think that this person is genuinely abusing this, then you can stay away. No harm in that. In fact, that might be the right thing to do. But where there is clear evidence of it, then you can act on that and don't give. But the point is that while it is not compulsory or obligatory that you must give everybody, but the question is, that if somebody had to pester us by that robot, we sometimes get very upset. You're not obliged to give, but you get very upset. And people then lose their dignity in that. They start sometimes saying things to the person, shouting at him, don't give, carry on in a dignified way. Don't lose the izzat for something like this. And on top of that, people don't know the individual. But very often he's easily identified that this is a Muslim. This woman is a Muslima, this is a Muslim person. So they don't know the person on a personal note. What's his name, where he comes from, who is he, nothing. But they know this is a Muslim. So now they're seeing his conduct, and na'uzubillah, they're jumping to conclusions that maybe all the Muslims, na'uzubillah, summa na'uzubillah, like this. Now what a terrible thing. So what the point is, that we should not become a means of disgracing Islam, disgracing the Muslims. And this is to be looked at from the angle of the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That I am doing this to emulate his Mubarak akhlaq. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will shower his forgiveness and greatness on forgiveness and compassion and mercy on me. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, the lengthy incident which we have discussed on previous occasions, where Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was slandered, one of the people who got caught up without realizing it was his cousin, Mistah radiallahu ta'ala. So, when the ayat of the Quran Sharif was revealed and highlighted the purity of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, so now it became very, very clear as daylight that whoever was saying something against her, this was all a slander. It was completely false. Now some were doing it deliberately while knowing that this is false. Others just got caught up in passing on the message, which is a very dangerous thing. Nowadays people all on the smartphone, social media, they get some message somewhere and they're forwarding to all, contacts, whatever. Now 50 others, 100 others, 200 others got that message. Sometimes that message is wrong. That message is fake. So what a disservice we've done to everybody. And we'll be answerable for this. So now, the question is, say the Aisha radiallahu ta'ala we're talking about. So she was slandered and now these ayat were revealed and it became very clear that this is all false. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he was very hurt at this. This was his daughter after all. So one of the people who got caught up in the rumor mongering was his cousin, Mistah radiallahu ta'ala. This whole thing was started off by the munafiqeen. A few sincere Muslims somehow slipped up. Abu Bakr now took a qasam. I will never ever give Mistah anything again, because Mistah was a very poor person and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to help him financially. He said, I'll never give him anything again. The ayat of the Quran Sharif was revealed that those people who Allah has given virtue and they have an abundance of the rizq from Allah Ta'ala as well, they should never take a qasam that they won't give the relatives and the muhajireen and various other aspects mentioned in the ayat. So Mistah was a muhajir, he was a poor person and he was a relative. So Allah Ta'ala says, don't take such a qasam. Then what you should do? وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْفَحُوا. Forgive and overlook. And then the Quran Sharif poses a question. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do you not love that Allah should forgive you? So Abu Bakr, as soon as he heard this ayat, he said, Ya Allah, I am forgiving him. I need your forgiveness. Subhanallah. And he forgave it, same time. Overlooked it. Now, how much of pain was caused to him through the pain that was caused to his daughter? This is such a... And then, when somebody is on that level, the pain for such a thing would be far greater. It was... Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she got to know about all these rumors right at the tail end of it. And when she got to know about it, she fell down unconscious. And then when she regained consciousness, for the next almost 36 hours, it probably works out too. She didn't eat one morsel of food. She couldn't sleep one wink, one bit. She couldn't sleep. And the whole night carried on like this, just crying and not being able to sleep, not being able to rest. But now Abu Bakr saw all this. But now when it came to forgiving, Allah says, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. He says, بَلَا. Why not? I want Allah must forgive me. I forgive Mr. And I will keep giving him. I'll give him more also. Now this was the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we have been taught, we should be inculcating, we should be bringing this into our life, we should be trying to move forward in these matters. This is the very, very important and crucial thing. What do we take from the Mubarak Seerah? That's the question for us. We just listen to something for the sake of listening, or we start making efforts to practice on it as well. And when a person takes this route of forgiveness, overlooking, following the beautiful akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this becomes a very great benefit to them, and it dispels a lot of problems and difficulties. It brings about peace in people's lives. This is what we should be trying, what we should be aspiring for. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allah ta'ala bless us with the beautiful and noble akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah grant us the full understanding of the Mubarak Seerat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and enable us to bring our lives in that mold. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka alshukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayk anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم